a continuation of what we had learned the last time from verses 7 and 8. And we will consider this morning then these three verses, verses 9, 10 and 11 of the second chapter of the first epistle of John. In our last sermon, we had considered the old and the new commandment in the verses 7 and 8. And we discovered that the new commandment was the expanded teaching from the old commandment that was given back in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And of course, this teaching was exemplified in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus and in the life of his apostles. John is writing in this epistle to instruct those men and women that teaching needs to be replicated. It needs to be continued on in the same way as a pattern for Christian living and devotion in every generation for all God's people. No good that just the Lord done it and the apostles done it and we don't need to do it. No, it has to be continued on. And as we consider these verses, we must remember the context that is established in the verses 7 and 8, the old and new commandment, that is founded on the teaching, especially from John 13, you remember in the upper room teaching, the Lord taught the disciples to love one another. And that this teaching here is founded on that particular teaching of the Lord Jesus in the upper room. Walking in the light or walking in darkness, we discovered before, were metaphors that revealed to which spiritual kingdom that you and I belong to. If we are walking in the light, then we are the children of God. If we are walking in darkness, then we are certainly not. The Apostle Paul uses similar language to this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5. He says these words, "Ye are the children of light." So he's using these terms, light and darkness, to distinguish between those who are walking with God and those who are walking in the kingdom of darkness. He says, "You are children of light and children of the day." These terms are used to describe someone who is one of God's people. He goes on to say, "We are not of the night, nor of darkness." We don't belong to the dark. We don't belong to darkness. We are the children of the day. We are children of light. So these were common descriptive terms that distinguish between the godly and the ungodly. Now in our text, in the verse 9, in the chapter 2, the Apostle John says, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now." And this statement should put us on guard. You see, it is perfectly possible to be orthodox and reformed in our thinking and in our theology, but our attitude and our disposition to our brother and sister in Christ may be spiteful. And if that is the case, if we are spiteful to our brother and sister, then we have two faces. We have two faces, and that is hypocrisy. You see, the Pharisees were like that. The Pharisees of old, they had a religious veneer, a false face. The Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 27 used some very scathing words to show the falsehood of their profession. This is what he said. Scathing words indeed. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Woe. Hypocrites. For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, whited tombs, whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Scathing words indeed. What John is showing us here in the verse 9 is the inconsistency between profession and conduct. And if what we say does not agree, dear friends, this morning, if what we say does not agree with what we do, then our lives are contradictory. Contradictory. And the conclusion must be, as John clearly says and states in the verse 9, that the man or woman that is living a contradictory lifestyle is in darkness even until now. The Apostle John has used such terms in this epistle as light and darkness, truth and falsehood, and here in our text this morning as love and hate. Opposing terms that illustrate the life of the believer or indeed of the unbeliever. You see, the true light that the gospel brings and that spiritual illumination to your life and to my life, that brings that light to the soul, is incompatible with darkness and falsehood and hatred. We had said before that a verbal profession that was lacking in moral integrity was simply self-delusion. That's all it is. But let me expand that. Let me develop that, please. The man or woman who makes a verbal profession that lacks that moral integrity and is devoid of a motivating love and compassion are walking in darkness. John is teaching clearly to those people to whom he was writing in the first century that anyone who claims to be a part of the Christian covenant community but displays by his words or his actions a hateful antipathy to God's people, it is clear that there is a contradiction in the life and they are in darkness even until now. What about verse 10? He that loveth his brother, this is the antithesis of it. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. This loving your brother or sister is simply, and listen carefully please, is simply a disinterested seeking of their welfare. And what do I mean by that? A disinterested seeking of their welfare. Well, loving your brother or sister is not for praise or for plaudits, is it? We don't help our brother or sister in some way and we seek praise or plaudits for it. Because that would just be disingenuous, wouldn't it? Our Lord Jesus Christ, of course, was the great example of loving and caring for people. And so this loving and caring for the brethren and sisters must be from a sincere motive and without hypocrisy. It must be real. It must be real. We serve one another in things practical and spiritual, and so obey the old and yet the new commandment that we love one another, as we had heard before in the verse 7 and 8. John tells us then in the verse 10, "And he that loveth his brother abideth in the light." You see that? "And there is none occasion of stumbling in him." You see, the light that the Christian receives is that glorious illumination of the gospel of Christ. And that indeed is the motivating cause for the believer's love. And the exercise of that love is the evidence that the believer is walking in the light. You see that? This is not difficult. It is simple logic. It is simple logic of cause and effect. Because we have received the illumination of the gospel, and we have been redeemed and saved and changed, and we have a new heart and a new bias and a new way of going and a way of doing things, then because of that is the cause of our change, and then the outworking of that change is that we love the brethren, that is the effect of it. The simple logic of cause and effect. John concludes in the verse 10 by saying, "And there is no occasion of stumbling in him." The word stumbling here in the verse 10 is the Greek word skandalon. Skandalon. And it's where we get our English word scandal from. Scandal. There is no occasion of scandal in him. This believer walks circumspectly, being watchful, careful, prudent in what they do, aware of the dangers that would undermine their walk with God and their fellowship with God. Aware of the dangers that would mar their fellowship with other believers. Aware of the dangers that would hinder or stumble them in their own personal and moral integrity. Not only that, the believer, of course, walks circumspectly, but he or she does not deliberately give offense. Doesn't give offense to our brother or sister in Christ, nor will easily take offense from them. They live their lives in a way that is described by the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. And this is lovely, and this is what we should be doing, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Isn't that lovely? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. The Christian man or woman walks so as neither to give nor take offense. It's easy to take offense, isn't it? I have been, and I'm sure you have been, offended many times in your life. Bob McAvoy says sometimes, "If I haven't offended you, I'll get round to it." He's joking, of course. But that we shouldn't take offense, nor give it. That is not to say that we do not need to correct someone if they are wrong. We must do that, especially with regard to Scripture. We must do that, but we should not give offense or take offense in a general way. You see, if we are motivated by a love for God and for his people, then we will be conformed to that first and second precept of the law, to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We will be motivated by that. And to do this with sincerity and without hypocrisy is an evidence that our citizenship is in heaven. These are tests, moral tests, if you like, for the Christian man and the woman. We need to see that we line up, our lives line up with this teaching. And so John reminds us then in the verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of scandal or stumbling or a stumbling block in him. Let's look at verse 11 then, please. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. The Apostle John alludes to Christ's words in his own gospel in John chapter 11 and verse 10. The Lord Jesus said, if any man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. You see, it is after John's manner, following his teaching in the verse 9, to re-emphasize it. And that's what he does in the verse 11. He re-emphasizes it. And this he does by more strongly and forcibly concluding it. He's done this before in the first and second chapter. If we looked at verse 8 of chapter 1, when John says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And then he goes on to the passage of, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And then he goes back again in verse 10 to re-emphasize sin. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. So this is John's way of dealing with this, and to re-emphasize and to more strongly enforce it of what he is teaching. In this verse then, in the verse 11, John is describing in detail for us the spiritual condition of the man or woman who is walking in darkness. That is, that they have no godly principle or guide to govern them. There is nothing in their lives that is of a godly sort. They just stumble on. They have only that which is common to all, the state of the unregenerate, that they walk according to the course of this world. They are walking in darkness. As I was thinking of this particular verse during the week, I thought upon the Apostle Paul's remarks to Titus in chapter 3 and verse 3. And this is really a terrible indictment on humanity. This is what the Apostle Paul says when he's writing to Titus. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, and listen carefully, hateful, and hating one another. Not dreadful. That's what the Apostle Paul says we were. What a terrible indictment on unregenerate mankind. See, you might have thought that you were not a bad person before you were converted. You might have thought you were not a bad girl or a bad fellow. Weren't too bad. But these things that the Apostle Paul here describes to Titus, these malevolent characteristics, were in each one of us to a lesser or greater extent. They were in each one of us. Rottenness. And we were doing the devil's work. And whether you like that or not, that is the reality. We were doing the devil's work. And we must be careful, dear friends, as Christian people, by what we say and what we do and what our actions are like. We must guard our tongues. And listen carefully. We must guard our tongues because spite and harsh words and malice and misrepresentations are the fiery darts in the devil's bow. Yeah, the fiery darts in the devil's bow. And they can cause, they can cause such misery and heartache and division. Remember what James says in his little epistle in the 3rd chapter, verse 5. This is what he says about the tongue. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. We're fond of boasting, aren't we? A little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Very wise words, sir. You strike a match, it's only a little fire. But it has the strength to burn down vast areas of land and property. Behold, how great a little matter. How great a matter a little fire kindleth. Let us watch our tongues. John also tells us in the verse 11 that he that hateth his brother walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. The King Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. To hate your brother or sister is to walk in darkness. That spiritual condition that is controlled by the god of this world, Satan, the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. As love to the brethren is the moral counterpart that flows from the gospel light to the believer, so hatred for your brother or sister is the malicious counterpart of being under control of the power of darkness. It is the sin-blinding ignorance of the knowledge of God. Sin-blinding ignorance. As a consequence, the man or woman, as John tells us in this verse 11, knows not where he goes because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Reading from Psalm 82 in verse 5 yesterday, and it tells us in the verse 5, and it's speaking of the wicked, the Asaph the recorder is reading in Psalm 82, and speaking of the wicked, and he says, they know not, that is ignorance. They know not ignorance. He's on to say, neither will they understand. And the Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, he says, the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Blinded. They know not, neither will they understand. And the outworking of that is in Psalm 82 and verse 5, they walk on in darkness. They just continue on as the way that they were going. That is the outcome of that. Their ignorance, they're blinded, and the outcome is that they just walk on darkness. What a dreadful spiritual condition it is to walk in darkness. John tells us in his gospel in chapter 3 and verse 19, men love darkness rather than light. Why? Why do men love darkness rather than light? He tells us because their deeds were evil. Men loved the darkness because their deeds were evil. But thankfully, the words of the Lord Jesus brings hope and deliverance. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, the Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And through the gospel, and through the work of Christ on the cross, we have this word to guide and to direct our steps. And of course, Psalm 119 and verse 105, a very well-known verse, tells us, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Having this word, this word of God, the believer does not walk in darkness, but walks in the light of the word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So in conclusion, then, what have we learned? I have 4 points. Firstly, in this section that we have been considering, remember the context from verses 7 to 11. The context is loving one another. And that is the positive proof of our salvation. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 13 and verse 35, By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Secondly, if we harbor hatred in our hearts for our brother or sister, the spiritual reality is that we are walking in darkness. No matter how much we say we are in the light or sit beside God's people in a local congregation, there is no light in us. If we hate our brother or sister, we are walking in darkness. Thirdly, there must be a consistency in the life regarding our profession of faith and our conduct. We must be watchful. We must be watchful that our lives do not contradict our profession. And fourthly and finally, be diligent to guard your tongue. Much damage can be, and indeed has been done, in the Christian church by a thoughtless and ill-tempered remarks. Please guard your tongue. I want to see yous all in heaven. I want to see yous in that kingdom that God has provided for us. We need to demonstrate now, today, that we really do belong to that kingdom. We need to show that we love one another. Okay, thank you for your attention. And I hope that has been of some help to you this morning. Thank you.